أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين أم حسب الذين يعملون السيئات أن يسبقونا ساء ما يحكمون من كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجل الله لآت وهو السميع العليم ومن جاهد فإنما يجاهد لنفسه إن الله لغني عن العالمين والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لنكفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولنجزينهم أحسن الذي كانوا يعملون ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حسنا وإن جاهد
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته And welcome back to this special series of commentary of the Quran that we have been going through this year in the month of Ramadan for the year 2020 in which we have taken this opportunity to review chapter number 29, Surat Al-Ankabut, the chapter of the spider. And obviously not only is today continuation of the commentary that we had begun on the first night of the month of Ramadan, or the first day rather of the month of Ramadan, but we've also reached to the 20th day of the month of Ramadan, which is where we continue to remember the martyrdom of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. And obviously, as we recall, that it was on the 19th of the month of Ramadan, that was yesterday, that in the historical timeline, that he was struck on the head by the cursed Abdurrahman ibn Muljim al-Muradi. And with that poison sword separating or striking the forehead and the top of the head of the commander of the faithful, and the poison traveling through his body, he only had a few days left to live on this earth before he would go back to Allah. And as we continue, we remember the commander of the faithful and the tragedies that he went through and his family. And we ask our Creator to accept our commemorative ceremonies where we remember the martyrdom of the commander of the faithful and that we can have the ability to have the intercession of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the Day of Judgment and that we are able to reside in his company in paradise when we make it there. To be in his company and that of his family and obviously the Prophet and the rest of the Ahlul Bayt. May God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. Today we continue with session number 20 of our review of chapter 29, Surat Al-Ankabut. And we want to review two verses today, verses 46 and 47. And as we remember and we recall that the overall arching theme that we have been going over this month of Ramadan in chapter 29 is God's precedence in testing humans' faith. We've already, alhamdulillah, praise be to God, gone through the first three major sections of this chapter. So we've covered verses number 1 all the way up to 44. And now we enter into the final phases of the remainder of the commentary and the discussion of the remaining verses, which are 25 more verses to complete, that God willing we will complete before the day of Eid for this month of Ramadan. And so this section that we will be reviewing today and moving on forward for the next few sessions are the trials which those who oppose the prophets, what they went through. Not only the trials, but also as we'll see today is how we as Muslims have been encouraged to interact with other people of other religions. And obviously we'll see this in the words of Allah, which he has spoken to the prophet, which the prophet was obviously taking to heart and to implement within his life. And so first in verse number 46 for today, Allah says, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ Do not dispute with the people of the book, meaning the Jews and the Christians, And we'll mention a bit more about this verse as we move on, but just to go through the Arabic and the English, do not dispute with the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, except in a manner which is best. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ except when it comes to those who are the wrongdoers from amongst them. As with them, there is no way possible to discuss and debate, so leave them to be as they are. Again, keeping in mind that the text in italics is the explanatory commentary translation of the verse, and the text with in normal writing are the actual words of Allah. وَقُولُوا آمَنَّا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَأُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَإِلَهُنَا وَإِلَهُكُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ And say to the Jews and the Christians that we believe in that which has been sent down to us in the Quran and what has been sent down to you. Our God and your God is one and the same. And to Him, to God, Allah, do we submit. Now, before I go into the verses, I just want to mention maybe one or two points at this juncture. This term, Ahlul Kitab, is a very beautiful term, a term of endearment, which God uses in the Quran. He refers to people who were given previous scriptures as the Jewish community, as the Christian community in particular, although we know that there were other communities, other messengers that received books. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam had a book, although nobody follows or claims to follow Prophet Nuh anymore. Prophet Dawood was given a book according to the Quran. Prophet Ibrahim obviously was given a book. Prophet Yunus was given a book according to the Quran, and many other messengers from God. We also know that in the other ayat of the Quran, Allah talks about the Majus, the Zoroastrians, as being a divinely revealed religion in its pristine original form, and a group called the Sabians. But obviously, when we look at the term the Ahlul Kitab as it is in the Quran, we are specifically talking about the Jews and the Christians. And even this term is very unique, Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book. The singular, the book, because they were, you know, and ultimately they're all prophets brought one teaching. Obviously, different books, multiple books have come down over the centuries, over the millennia, but they all come from one source with one prime teaching, which is obviously the worship of God. It is belief in the day of judgment. It is acceptance of the prophets that God sends to humanity. And we see in the Quran that God gives a special place to Jewish people, the people of the Jewish tradition and of the Christian tradition. And it's a very lengthy discussion. Obviously, we don't have all the time to go into it today, but I just want to mention a few points as we move on. And how God says that when you speak to them, do not dispute or argue with these people, except in the best way possible. And I want to really focus on what this means. Where Allah says, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ in the best way and manner possible. You know, we know that when it comes to communication, we have verbal and nonverbal communication. Verbal is obviously what we are saying, maybe what we text on our phones and our smartphones, what we message, what we email. But there's a lot of nonverbal communication that we engage in, right? The way I'm talking to you right now, live, my hand gestures, the way I'm looking, the way that, you know, if I was standing, how I would be standing, how I'll be walking or pacing back and forth. All of that is nonverbal, but it's a form of communication. It carries a meaning. There is a connotation with it. And many times a person can remain silent, not say a word, but their body language would speak volumes. And sometimes a person may be saying one thing and acting in another way verbally. You know, sometimes you're talking to somebody, you go to your office of a coworker or your manager at work, and you're talking to them. They're pretending to listen to you, but they're behind the computer, typing away, doing something else. Their nonverbal communication tells you something about them and how they, you know, are treating you. So obviously, as human beings, we have to realize that our communication is at multiple levels, verbal and nonverbal, and both are important. And we're going to see how Allah actually speaks about this within this verse of the Quran. So the first thing to keep in mind is when Allah says, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ talk to the people of the book. Again, keep in mind, please, the focus of this verse today. Talking, you and I as Muslims, as followers of the Quran, as people who are hopefully fasting this Ramadan, who worship God, Allah is telling you and I, how do you talk to people who are followers of Judaism and Christianity? Unfortunately, you know, many so-called Muslims out there have given us Muslims a bad rap by the way they treat the Jews, by the way they treat the Christians, by the mocking and insulting sometimes that happens, and by, you know, those extreme groups that are outside of the fold of Islam, but how they deal with people of other religions in a very negative way, in a very disrespectful way, in a very even, you know, very dangerous, the way that they even, you know, obviously have launched attacks on them. Look at how Allah says we should deal with people of the book. Talk to them in the best way possible. Now, the meaning of this word ahsan, as commentators of the Quran have mentioned, and I'll be taking mostly from Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi in Tafsir Namuna, and also Ayatollah Jawadi Amali in his Tafsir Tasneem, they say that this word best, ahsan, is the correct and appropriate way of discussing. And it can include not only the words we use, but rather how they are spoken, in what tone we use, and all other aspects of verbal communication. You know, you and I have to agree that it's not only the words that you and I choose how to speak, it's the tone that we use, it's how we say the words. You can say to somebody, for example, to a Christian, "Do you worship Jesus?" in a very pleasant tone. Or you could say, "Do you worship Jesus?" You can say it in two different ways, the exact same words, but you convey a different meaning based on your tone, on your how you raise the pitch of your voice, and even how your hand gestures come out. You know? You can tell your child when it's time for her or him to do the chores. You can ask them, "Ali, Fatima, did you clean your room?" Or you can say, "Did you clean your room?" Big difference between the two. Right? And we have to understand that when Allah says talk to the Jews and Christians in the best possible way, not only use the words, the right words and the respectable words, but how do you tone them? What kind of a tone are you using with them? And again, all of the other aspects of verbal communication. And I'm sure you can take courses online or in a university or in a college in effective speaking. But the Quran, you know, which is the best, you know, textbook, the best classroom setting in the Quran, teaches us how to talk to other people. I don't want to go into that today, but there are verses that talk about the mode of communication. Point number two that we have to reflect upon when Allah says, "Billati hiya ahsan," in the best possible way, speak to the Jews, speak to the Christians. The implication of this sentence is the following, that your words must be polite. Your style of speaking is that you must employ a voice of friendliness. Your content must be balanced. You have to take from the correct sources. Take from the authentic sources. Don't pretend that you know about the other religion unless you've actually studied it from their sources. Don't say, "Well, I read it on Google. Right? Wikipedia said it. Google told me this is the answer." There is a lot of truth on Google and Wikipedia, no doubt, but there's a lot of made-up content, people who want to hurt other people. So don't just take your sources from online. Go and speak to the Christian. Go and speak to the Jewish person. Say, "What do you believe?" Right? Let's discuss religion. Get into interfaith dialogue and discussion. So your content must be balanced. Your tone of speaking must be one that is free from shouting and abuse, harshness and insults. Again, we have to keep in mind the tone with which we speak. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, as Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah. Speak to people in a beautiful way. In addition, your facial expressions and hand gestures must also be calculated. In summary, your entire presence must be the best. SubhanAllah. Thank God that He gave us such beautiful wisdom in the Quran. And who would have thought in Surah Al-Ankabut, a chapter which we will be reciting in the Nights of Qadr, the Nights of Grandeur, that this kind of a teaching would come out of the Quran, that speak to people in a beautiful way. Use good words. Use a pleasant tone. Talk from authoritative sources. Watch how your body language, how you control that when you speak to people. You look at some of these videos online of people who are, you know, debating other people in parks, and are arguing with other people online and in debates and forums. And many times they're devoid of these norms of etiquette, these norms of speaking, these norms of how God wants us to interact with other human beings. Moving on to the third part that I want to convey to us today is billati hiya ahsan, in a manner which is best, is that this word, or this phrase rather, in one word, Allah actually presents a comprehensive course in how to speak to people. Now you may go to courses, you may have read books, how to speak to people, how to influence people, how to communicate, maybe if you're at work, you've had to learn communication skills. At school, our children learn how to do presentations and talk in public. Allah has already conveyed much of this within the Quran. And obviously we have numerous hadith that talk about, management, about administration, about dealing with people, about speaking with people. Even in the book Wasail al-Shia, a very famous compendium of a hadith by Sheikh Hur al-Amali, may Allah raise his rank, he has an entire chapter on the adab, the courtesies of interacting with people. How do you interact with one another? There's entire chapters of books of hadith that talk about how to interact with one another. But the Quran shows us, it gives us an entire course on how to speak to people. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars learning from this person and that person. Go to the Quran and learn from the way that Allah tells Rasulullah to speak. How Allah told Prophet Musa to speak, how Allah told Prophet Isa to speak, peace be upon all of them, and see how they spoke to their friends and adversaries. Now a question may come up is that, I'm a Muslim, been Muslim all my life, I've been Muslim for whatever how long. Why should I even bother talking to a non-Muslim? What can I get across to them that would matter? And what can they give me that would add to my religion? Sometimes people have this idea that, why do I bother with interfaith dialogue and discussion among civilizations and introducing Islam to other people? Just let me stay in my cocoon. I'm happy where I am. I'm a Muslim. I go to my center. I do this. I do that. Why bother talking to non-Muslims about religion, about Islam in particular? Well, for one point, and we'll move on. We just want to touch upon a few points this afternoon. For Muslims, the purpose of debate with the Jews, with the Christians, or others, right, whether it be non-believers, atheists, agnostics, people who worship idols, whatever the case may be, for you and I as Muslims, our purpose of debate, of discussion, of interaction, is not to seek supremacy, to say that you are wrong, that you are going to hell, that your faith is backwards. It's not to argue with them to prove the legitimacy of Islam and the supremacy of Islam. Not to embarrass the other party, to make fun of them, that you believe this and you do that. Because believe you me, that to outsiders, Islam looks very strange. Praying the way that we pray, praying towards a black stone in Mecca, praying in that direction, going around the Kaaba 7 times counterclockwise, all of these actions that you and I take for granted, which make sense to you and I because we do them, non-believers look at them sometimes as being very strange actions. Why do you do these things? Why do you women cover your body the way you do? Why do you pray in this way? These look strange to them. And we have to realize that their actions may seem strange to us because we don't understand the wisdom behind why they do it. So we should never seek to embarrass the other party and make fun of them and mock them and talk bad about them. This dialogue amongst religions or within Islam, even talking to people who follow other paths of Islam that we don't follow or subscribe to, it should be done to influence them to an extent and to penetrate deep into the heart of that individual to make them see the beauty of Islam and the beauty of what we follow. Are we out there to convert the world? Simply put, no. We cannot convert. If we as Muslims had the power to convert, then the Prophet of God, the best of human beings, could have converted the entire Arabian Peninsula, but he couldn't. He didn't, not because he could not, but because faith is in the heart. And it's by our own voluntary actions لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين رشد من الغي. There's no compulsion in religion. Truth is made clear from falsehood. Whoever wants to believe, Allah says, whoever wants to believe, فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر. You want to believe, believe. You want to disbelieve, disbelieve. It's up to the person. We don't force conversion. We don't convert by people by the sword. We don't tell you, you must convert or you die. No, you give the message, let the seed plant in the heart, and then let it go from there. If they feel that this is the right path in life, they will accept it. If they reject it, that's up to them. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Upon us is nothing except the giving of the clear message. They will account to God on the Day of Judgment why they accepted or why they rejected Islam. Moving on, because we want to complete in the next few moments, in the next 10 minutes or so, Allah then says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. He said, speak good to the Jews and Christians. هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Except those who are the wrongdoers from amongst them. Now, what does this mean? Commentators have gone across the board to give various possibilities. Many of them are completely inaccurate. And for example, when scholars comment and they say, these are the opinions, they will then come and say, well, this opinion is rejected because of this reason. This opinion is rejected because of this reason. And so some very obscure opinions were that those who are the alladhina dhalamu, those who are the wrongdoers, are non-Muslims who are doing shirk, who are worshipping idols, who are disbelievers, who curse God. If you believe that interpretation, you're wrong. Because if you think about it logically, Allah is saying, talk to Ahlul Kitab and others in the best way, except those who are the disbelievers, who are kafirs, who are mushriks. But Islam came to change that. Islam came to take people out of the dhulamat into nur. Islam came to say, you're a kafir, this is Islam. This is the benefit of the religion. Islam came to tell the idol worshippers that what you're following is not right. This is what you should be doing. And so if this verse meant don't talk to people who are not Jews or Christians or people of the book, then we are alienating a huge swath of humanity. So we can't accept that. And scholars of Quran like Ayatul Makarim Shirazi in Tafsir Namuna reject this notion. And Ayatollah Jawadi Amli in Tasneem rejects this notion that the Dhalamu are non-Muslims, are non-Ahlul Kitab, because this message is for them. And think about this, how many people in Mecca became Muslims through the prophets preaching to them? They were idol worshippers, they were disbelievers. They came into Islam. Look at it today, how many people out there today have come to Islam who were Hindus, who were Christians, who were Jews, who were atheists, who were agnostic? They came to Islam. They accepted Islam. They are now Muslims. If they were not allowed to be spoken to, then they would be on their same path today. So those who are the dhalamu are, according to the commentaries, and again, there are multiple opinions, but the one opinion which is more favorable and stronger is that those who do not see things in the way that you do, who do not have the same proofs as you do. Right? You can't talk to a person who only knows apples by providing him oranges. But when Allah says, talk to Ahlul Kitab, they believe in a God, in God. They believe in prophethood. They believe in scripture. They believe in the Day of Judgment. They believe in many of the same things that Muslims believe, and we'll see this a bit later. So we can talk to them. We have a common denominator. Now, going on to the rest of the of verse number 47, and we will conclude with this. So that was verse 46. When we go to verse 47, Allah says something interesting. وَكَذَلِكَ, and thus, أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. We have sent down the book, meaning the Quran, to you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. So we know that. That's point number one. God says, in the same way, we have sent down to you, O the Prophet, a book, the Quran. أَلَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. And those to whom we have given the book before you, meaning the Jews, meaning the Christians, they believe in it. They believe in the Quran. And they've converted to Islam. So They've now converted. They've left their tradition because they recognize a new prophet, a new religion, a new system. They continued in that path. So يؤمنون به ومن هؤلاء ما يؤمنوا به. And the polytheists, there are also some who believe in it, in the Quran. So Allah is showing us that from the Christians, or from the Jews, first of all, people were following a prophet Musa, they accepted Islam. From the Christians, people who followed Prophet Jesus, they heard the Quran, they heard about Islam, they accepted Islam. And from the polytheists, the disbelievers, the idol worshippers, the pagans, they heard the Quran, they listened to it, they accepted it, they became Muslims. So God shows us that this is a reality. Those who got the book before you, they've also heard the Quran now, and now they're converting. Those who are polytheists, who did not worship God previously, they worshiped idols that they concocted and fabricated by their own hands. They've heard the Quran, they've accepted it. But then God says, وَمَا يَجْحَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا الْكَافِرُونَ. And none fight against our signs except the faithless, from amongst the Jews, from amongst the Christians, and from the polytheists. It's a very fine point to keep in mind here, brothers and sisters, that although they are Jews and Christians and they will be judged by God on the Day of Judgment, but the Quran refers to some of them as mu'minun, as believers, because they believed in Islam. And Allah calls some of the Jews and Christians as kafirun, as disbelievers. In Surah Al-Bayyinah, you see the same thing. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَحْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Indeed, those who disbelieve from Ahlul Kitab, from the Jews and Christians. You ask yourself, disbelieve in what? You're just calling them Jews and Christians, so they're believing in something, in a book, in a prophet. But no, Allah is saying they disbelieve in Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. They disbelieve in the Quran. They disbelieve in this final revelation of Islam, the perfected and completed form of Islam. And Allah says, none of these people will fight against you, against the ayat of Allah, against Islam, against the Quran, except the faithless from those groups. And again, there's a massive discussion. We're just going to have to summarize it in the next few moments, unfortunately. But this part, وَمَا يَجْحَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا الْكَافِرُونَ. And none fight against our signs except the faithless from amongst the Jews, Christians, and the polytheists. The meaning of this word yajhadu, the root that it comes from juhud, we got the same word, you know, many other words that come in this same root that are also mentioned in the Quran. This form of fighting, and this is different than jihad, they're two different words, two different spellings. Keep that in mind. You might think, well, juhud, jihad, same. No, they're different. Wama yajhadu, this word of fighting, of disputation, of argumentation at a higher level. This meaning of fighting, and this is according to Ayatollah Nasir Makarem again in his Tafsir Namuna. He says it's when a person acknowledges something as being correct, however they still work against it. In case of the Prophet of Islam, the disbelievers rejected him. And it may be due to their own stubbornness, it may be due to their intolerance, or the blind following of their forefathers. We see this in the Quran. The disbelievers say, you want us to change our way of life? We're following our forefathers, you know, Aba'in al-Awwaleen. Our forefathers, they were on this path of what we are following today. We're not going to change. So some of them, they all knew, because they called the Prophet As-Sadiq al-Amin, the truthful speaker, the trustworthy individual. They knew his trustworthiness was impeccable. His character was perfect. He would ask them, if I was to tell you that there is an army behind this mountain, would you believe me? And they said, of course we would believe you. So he says, then believe I'm a prophet of God. And they laughed at the man. So they knew he was the prophet of God. Make no mistakes about it. But they did not believe in him because of multiple reasons. Pride, jealousy, upset the social balance, it would mean an equalization in wealth, many reasons, or just blind following. Mom and dad were worshiping idols, my grandparents worshiped idols. This is a 1,000-year-old tradition. You want me to change? I'm not going to change, no. As I said, this is a vast topic, but you can really get more details on this, and if you're interested in the topic of Islam and religious pluralism, By this amazing book, it's actually a chapter from the full book. So the author is the late Ayatollah Shahid Murtada Mutahhari. He had written, out of the many, many books he's written, one was called Adl Ilahi, The Justice of God, which is available in English. This excerpt is a special translation done for our publishing house, Islamic Publishing House. This is going back about 20 years ago by Sayyid Suleiman Hassan Abadi, where he had translated the one chapter on the good actions of non-Muslims. So looking at the topic of pluralism, what will happen to Jews, to Christians, to non-believers on the Day of Judgment? And so there's two versions available. The first edition, which came out, had all the Arabic text of ayat of the Quran and Hadith. And the second edition, and both are available online, was with all the Arabic text removed from the book, making it easier for a non-Muslim audience to understand this concept from the perspective of the Quran and the Prophet of Islam and the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon all of them. And I would advise all of you to go and download this book for free to read it and to really think about the content that Ayatollah Shahid Murtada Mutahhari had put into this book. Let me conclude in the next 2 minutes with 3 points of reflection for today. And God willing, tomorrow we will continue verses 48 and 49 of the review of Surat Al-Ankabut. So the first point to reflect upon is that the exchange of views and engaging in dialogue between various schools of Islam and also outside of Islam, between various cultures also, and the nations of the earth is acceptable by Islam. Don't think that we are not allowed to talk to non-Muslims or engage in with them or dialogue with them or converse to them about Islam. No, we have a right to, we have a duty to, maybe and even an obligation to convey to them the final teachings that God has sent for them to follow as well. So we should be open to discussion, to dialogue, to having them come to our centers, to go to their centers, to meet, to talk, to better understand and appreciate one another and where we come from. The Prophet did this clearly when the Christians of Najran from Yemen came to meet him in the mosque, and he debated and he discussed, and they had a very friendly conversation. Point number two is that all of those who are not Muslims and who do not accept Islam are not automatically working against Islam. We have to draw a distinction between those who are belligerent, who are actively, violently, have an agenda against Islam and the Muslims, and those who are not Muslims, but A, they don't know better, or they live and let live. You want to be Muslim, that's great. Do what you want to do. Pray how you want to pray. There are a lot of people like that out there today, brothers and sisters. Just because they're not a Muslim doesn't mean they hate Islam. Just because they're not Muslims doesn't mean that they hate, you know, us as human beings. They many times don't know who we are. It's a reality. It's a fact of the world we live in today. And point number three, let me end with this for today, because tonight being, for many of us, 21st night of Ramadan, the Laylatul Qadr, I'm sure we all want to prepare for that night, for tonight, is that Islam accepts that people may be Jews and Christians, etc. However, ultimately the goal is for all to follow one religion, and the theme of Islam and religious pluralism must be correctly understood. You and I cannot force Islam on people. God does not force. The Prophet never forced. Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his return, will not force people to Islam. But the goal of Allah, the goal of God, was to have people on one thread, on one way of life, on one religion. Unfortunately, people decided to take exits on that highway of felicity. Islam says, if you want to be a Jew and retain your Judaism, so be it. You want to be a Christian and retain your Christianity? Okay. God can't force you to convert. But realize that there is only one religion, inna deena inda lahil Islam. The only religion with God is al-Islam. And Islam in every era takes on a new form. At the time of Moses, Islam was to follow Prophet Moses. At the time of Jesus, Islam was to follow Prophet Jesus and leave the teachings of Prophet Moses. Accept him as a prophet, accept his books, but say, you know what, Jesus has brought the updated operating system. And in the time of Islam, the time of today, the time of 2020, with the Quran in front of us, Islam is Islam taught by the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, and as an extension, the Ahlul Bayt. Does it mean you reject or you renounce or you insult Musa and Isa and Ibrahim, peace be upon them? No, you accept all of the prophets. We love all of them unconditionally. We accept them as prophets. But we say their life, their code of life, their teachings were an operating system for their era. Not for today, not for tomorrow, not for the end of time. That is only the role of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, and the Ahlul Bayt. And the peak of that is the peak of eloquence, and that is Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. I'll conclude and just say that tonight, obviously we will not only mark Laylatul Qadr night, but the night where we remember the actual demise of the Commander of the Faithful, where he leaves this world, where he goes back to his Creator, where he succumbed to the injuries of the cursed sword of Ibn Muljam, la'natullah alayh, and the blood that had been shed on that morning of the 19th of Ramadan, and the poison that made its way through the body of the Imam to the point where his skin began to change color. It is on this night, on the 21st, that he leaves this world, and his family become orphans at the loss of their father. And the Ummah of Islam, the Muslim Ummah, loses their protector, their leader, their guardian, the father of this Ummah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. We ask God to accept our acts of worship in this month of Ramadan, especially these nights of Qadr, and especially as we remember the tragic martyrdom of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him and his noble, beautiful family. And we ask Allah to allow us to remember the tragedy of Imam Ali and to shed tears over the grief of Imam Ali's grief and the family's grief and the Ummah's grief, and that we are blessed to have the intercession of Imam Ali on the Day of Judgment and to be in his company in paradise, and that we have the honor of being amongst the followers of Imam Ali. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Until tomorrow, in which we will continue with verse 48 and 49.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.